Interest rates are up and the market is tumultuous. And now more than ever, you need the best darn possible mortgage broker working on your behalf. That's Gabe Winslow, and you can reach him at 832-557-1095, or you can go to mortgagesbygabe.com. What makes Gabe so unique? Well, he's incredibly bright. He's a UT grad. He's got a law degree. He's been in the mortgage industry for over 20 years, and he is a true mortgage broker. What does that mean? It means he can shop for the best deal at over 80 different lenders and find you the terms that best suit you. Most mortgage guys you talk to won't reveal that they have exactly one size fits all for you and exactly one conduit to get your loan. If you are in these hyper-competitive markets and you're in these markets that have frankly gotten a lot less friendly to the consumer, you need the best possible person working on your behalf. That's Gabe Winslow. He has our full endorsement. You can reach him at 832-557-1095.
Good. Hey, welcome to a special Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, Rice React with Randy. Look at that alliteration, Randy Boone. That's why I'm almost a professional level broadcaster.
That's impressive. It's
He's
impressive.
Randy's blown away. So Randy is in Port O'Connor, which is what, Rockport for the lower middle class? Is that how that works?
Something like that, sure. Something like that.
He's in Port O'Connor. Actually,
I'm just along for the ride, so.
it's a great lazy little sleepy fishing town that's not gonna be a sleepy fishing town much longer.
Yeah, I was about to say it's I don't think it's so sleepy anymore, but.
No, but Randy is doing me a favor by jumping on, and he's got intermittent internet access. So if we have any issues, we apologize in advance. Randy, I appreciate you jumping on. Hopefully your wife doesn't come out and stare daggers at you. Maybe you can divert her to the Aggie game and keep her occupied.
That's why I'm able to do this. They're all upstairs watching the A&M game, so.
There you go. Well, hey, before we talk about Texas against the Rice Owls, where we saw some good and we saw some bad and we saw some ugly, I want to talk about something that's all good, and that's our buddy David McClellan. He is an advisor for Forum Financial, and he is outstanding at what he does. You know, I always say that if you want to get your financial house in order, give him a call. Actually, if your financial house you think is in order, also give him a call. There's nothing better in the world than getting sort of a checkup from someone who really understands what they're doing. And you could reach David at 312-933-8823. And why would you want to do that? Well, there's the idea of there's the known unknowns, and then there's also the unknown unknowns. And the thing about David, as sharp as he is, and the depth of industry experience that he possesses, he knows all the known unknowns, and he knows all the unknown unknowns. And in fact, he ran a great seven-part series in Kiplinger Financial Magazine, which was about how your IRA may be a secret tax bomb. And I tell you what, when I read it, Randy, I was pretty blown away by the implications of what he was talking about, and also the very creative solutions to sort of getting out of it. Because I'm not a big fan of taxes. I don't know about you.
No, I'm with you on that one. I haven't gotten around to reading it yet, but just from I've talked to you and a couple of people that have read it, and it's definitely on my list of things to do because it sounds like you may have a little outside the box thinking that could help everybody out on that regard.
Lots of outside the box thinking. And if you want to be privy to it, give them a call. 312-933-8823. All right, let's talk about the Rice React. Do you want to talk about the things I'm happy about, or do you really want to talk about the things I'm upset about?
Let's just get the bad out of the way first,
Okay. Well, we
because that
can't
may be the
spend
whole
too much.
podcast.
Let's not spend too much time on the bad, because we do want to talk about the good. The bad, of course, was the
There's plenty good.
Texas. The bad, of course, was the Texas defense, disgusting performance, giving up a field goal on the opening drive and a touchdown on the last drive, right? Are we on the same page?
Yeah, right. Rice kicked a field goal and they went backwards on their drive.
That's exactly right. All right, we're going to talk about the Texas offense. Look, the two things that concern me, big picture, the Texas interior offensive line did not play well. DJ Campbell was thought to be a solution. He is not. I know DJ Campbell got hyped up in the offseason. I always offered the caveat every time I was on a podcast or every time I was talking about or writing about it. I just basically said, look, if you think he's a physical improvement, that's awesome. If he can't pass protect, if he doesn't know what he's doing in there, picking up stunts, if he's lost and he's giving up pressure inside, you're going to have to bench him eventually. And unfortunately, he gave up a lot of pressure inside. He really struggled, and he didn't provide necessarily huge value add as a run blocker. He looked like an inexperienced guy that was a little bit overwhelmed by the moment at times.
I agree. I think if you get road grader status out of him, you can absorb a little bit of pass pro issues. But the pass pro issues were there, and you didn't really see the value add on the run blocking. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, he wasn't alone in the pass protection issues. I think it was predominantly him and just then overall unit coordination, not passing guys off well, not communicating. In fact, even getting a little too spread out at times, and allowing some of those interior line stunts to hit. Hayden Connor had a couple of plays where he didn't really fire off on a guy so much as just receive the block, you know, receive the defender, sort of trying to screen him. And that's not what we're looking for. If you're going to try to wear down a defense over time in the run game, Kelvin Banks of all people gave up a sack. That was pretty shocking. I got to say, number 55 for Rice, Carroll, that guy's a player.
Ball player.
About 5'11", 280, and he has motor for days, and he is strong. So pretty impressed with that guy. But that said, I will probably play better players than him against Alabama.
Correct. Yeah, to me, it's just too much of the same problems.
Yeah.
Too much of the same problems.
Well, and then the other part, and this may get more into Randy's particular wheelhouse as a former quarterback. Quinn Ewers played very well in the short to intermediate game, in my opinion. As a deep passer, it was bad. I charted him, I think, at 0 of 6 on deep balls. 3 or 4 of those deep balls, he had a wide open guy or a guy who was at least a step. And his balls were bad. And some of them were with pressure. Some were with not with pressure. His footwork was not good. His delivery, and I pointed out that one of the dangers of being able to deliver a ball from multiple angles is that you don't have a base sort of throw that you feel comfortable in where you can hit those layups. And this looked like a work in progress.
It looked like a guy that has no confidence in it. I think everybody knows that he has the arm talent to do it. He has not done it yet until we see it. Nobody's going to feel confident with it. But he doesn't know how much air to put underneath the ball right now. He doesn't know when to release it. Sometimes he just floats it up there like to a spot just almost way, way, way too fast. And then there's a couple. The one to Worthy where Worthy actually tracked it and caught it on the sideline. Was so way too much air, so underthrown. It's just he's too good from an arm talent standpoint to be making those throws. I don't something's going on there. I'm gonna come back to confidence in it, and like I said, until he hits a couple, unfortunately, probably gonna be a problem. But I would try to get him something over the middle of the field where he can throw to a guy moving across and on an angle down the field.
Yeah.
Because right now, the over-the-shoulder stuff he is really struggling with.
It's maybe the lack of angle to throw to. Maybe just an old-school deep post would suit him a little better where he can get a little lead under the ball. Yeah. And maybe a little air under the ball doesn't kill you there. But, boy, the true verticals or just the sideline go route, the worst thing you can do is just throw the ball out of bounds if a guy's got a step and a half. Just if you have to float it up a little too much inside, Worthy will adjust, grab the ball, and score. I think some of it's mechanical.
No,
and I
it's,
think
it's the equivalent it on, as a pitcher.
Yeah, I think you're nailing it on the confidence part, but some of it's mechanical. Like, why are you jumping in the air?
His footwork's not good.
Yeah. Why are you jumping in the air to throw it to a guy who's wide open in the middle of the field? And Rice, yeah, they could have had a pass interference on that, but I mean, just also throw the ball and hit the open receiver and stroll in for the touchdown.
Yeah, that guy should not have factored in the play at all. I couldn't even have been mad on that one.
Yeah. So
the play should have happened 15 yards down the field.
Let me ask you, it's early, clearly. Texas still won convincingly. I mean, there was never any doubt because of the other unit we're going to talk about in a second. But do we need to rethink a little bit of this offense in terms of just accept that this is a short and intermediate passing offense predominantly, and that we're probably going to do our best, maybe playing that with a little bit more tempo to help protect the offensive line, where maybe you can wear some people out and get a little tempo going. I don't know. I don't know if this sort of deliberate, let's set them up for the deep shot offense is going to ultimately work. I think I'm seeing shades of last year.
That's what I saw. I saw a whole lot of stuff that reminded me of last year and not in a good way. I think they need to go back and if it's a DVD or VHS, I don't know what exactly it was back then, but they need to find the stuff labeled 2008, 2009 and watch it a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very quick, precise, intermediate, short passing game. A lot of motion, a lot of movement. You know, the thing is, Randy, we have the receivers to threaten the whole field. That will open up and allow that passing attack. I got to talk about Xavier Worthy on the positive side. He came to ball.
Yes.
The catch that was taken away from him, I thought, was a catch. I also thought yes. He was just very competitive. He's talking trash. He's blocking hard. He's driving guys into the dirt. He's out there to play football. Hats off to him, and I think he was the offensive MVP of the game for me.
He's the best player on the field on the offensive side. Not even close.
Yeah. I do think Brooks did some good things. He caught that little touchdown on that little nicely designed throwback screen. He dropped a touchdown pass. That's not good. That was schemed wide open. Ran okay. I thought Jaden Blue actually was a breath of fresh air when he got in there. I thought he ran very hard.
He had some patient runs that were impressive, in my opinion, mm-hmm. which was kind of surprising from what I had known or heard about him.
We saw a little bit of what makes Cedric Baxter exciting. We saw him show good patience running inside, breaks it outside, gets 32 yards, and it looks like he got injured on that play. And
I definitely think it looked like a dislocated shoulder type situation or jammed shoulder or something. Hopefully it's just that and not in the collarbone realm.
Yeah, I'm not anticipating him anytime soon.
Nope, I agree.
That's
another case to get rid of that damn turf.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm a grass guy. Also, doesn't get 133 degrees on grass.
True.
Very true. Before I go, I do have to mention this because it bothered me. I understand A.D. Mitchell has some gifts as a receiver. His effort level as a blocker was embarrassing. And I hope Chris Jackson puts him on notice that he's still a football player, even if he's got a receiver number. And he, on that 4th-and-1, whether it was a miscommunication with Gunnar Helm, he's the receiver. He has the nickel, and he allowed a guy to run across his face and blow up Brooks on a 4th-and-1 in Rice territory. That Brooks would have gotten the first down had that not happened. And then on a screen to Whittington, where Mitchell knows the call and he knows he's the primary lead blocker, he ran out there and basically turned sideways and sort of dove at the guy to avoid contact and got Whittington blown up. That's embarrassing stuff to put on film. And they're not kids. It's the world of NIL. These are now paid players. That was just embarrassing from a football player perspective.
Yeah, no, it definitely was not anything that that he's going to be proud to look at tomorrow by any means.
Physicality overall, I thought one unit brought it in spades. I thought another unit really did not. And the unit, are you ready to switch over to the happier and sunnier part of this podcast?
Yes, please. Let's do so.
Okay. Awesome. Let's talk about the defense. Freaking awesome. Were you able to see that first drive? I didn't see the first drive when we gave up the field goal. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, basically, well, you know how they got the ball, right? Like, we went forward on fourth and two. Quinn kind of rushed a throw, threw it too low to Sanders. He was open. Should have converted the fourth down. And then Rice may have gotten a first down. I'd have to go back and watch it. But essentially, after the first play or first down, I mean, they just got stonewalled and ended up having to kick a field goal on fourth and 12 or 13 or whatever it was. But at that point of the just seeing that and knowing that Rice was basically gifted an opportunity to go score a touchdown and they never even threatened to do so, pretty much alleviated any concerns I had that unless something freaky happened, we were probably going to be all right from a defensive standpoint.
So coming into the season, our belief was that the defensive line and the secondary should be very good. We weren't sure how good. The defensive line and the secondary were very good.
No, I think they played exceptionally well. Pulled back a little bit for level of competition, obviously, but the things that they were doing and the manner in which that they were doing them translate against pretty much anybody.
Yeah, I think those things scale because the push from the defensive line, I was pretty impressed with their contain. The moments that JT Daniels did break the pocket, it was actually because we had a defensive or we had an edge dropping back into coverage. Or, you know, it was sort of by design. It was not a guy just completely blowing it. I also thought that guys did a really good job of staying in their rush lanes and getting honest pressure. They weren't just sort of shooting a gap and hoping to make something happen. They were driving the Rice guy into the backfield. Tavondre Sweat, holy moly. That guy, when he's fresh, is just a force.
Yes, very much so. Gap integrity was much better. Leverage was much better. And I thought the interior guys played exceptionally well.
Yeah, Collins looked great. He had that beautiful batted ball. Collins played a lot of defensive end and sort of a three-man front, which I really liked that look.
Yep.
Jet Bush got a ton of play and played well, much to the surprise of Longhorn fans who've already made up their mind on Jet Bush. Jalen Ford's drop on that interception he made was gorgeous.
Yeah.
You're
supposed you can tell Daniels was not expecting him to be a factor.
He did not expect that guy to be there. And that's why Ford was there. It was on a third and 16. Another example of that was Tavondre Sweat got amazing pressure. By the way, played it honest. He didn't just shoot a gap. He played it like it was honest, discarded the offensive lineman, got pressure on Daniels, and that led it to the interception to Austin Jordan. I just thought it was great combination of D-line and the secondary being aligned, understanding the down and distance, playing together. One of the criticisms of Pete Kwiatkowski, even against inferior teams, was third down defense. Let me pull up the stat here really quick. Rice was 4 of 13 on third down, 1 of 2 on fourth down. I'm willing to wager 3 of those conversions happened on that last garbage drive against basically third teamers. Wish Texas yes. hadn't given up that last touchdown, but oh well.
Agreed, for sure.
Was there anything else in the defense? I mean, Manny Muhammad, did you expect him to get that much run?
No, he was out there quick and a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, he flashed a lot. I was impressed with him.
He's not shy about squatting on a route and making a play on the ball.
Nope.
He's
at Jade Barron level status on the screen game last year already. He may get beat on one or two deep, but you better not underthrow a out route on him.
Speaking of Barron, Luke McCaffrey was the focus of the Rice passing game. You wouldn't know that from the box score, except for the last touchdown where he, Michael Taft took his head off, but he did hold on the ball for the touchdown.
Yeah.
Jahdae Barron basically dominated him, completely destroyed him as an option in the passing game. And that's why JT Daniels, people, yep. I think at one point the announcers were saying, hey, Texas is getting on him too quickly. They need to go to the quick game. Well, Luke McCaffrey's their quick game in the slot, and Jahdae Barron wasn't having it. So I loved seeing us be a little more aggressive on preventing those short little gimme routes. I think that's something that can scale to Alabama. I know people know that Rice is a lower level of competition. I just think the tactics are going to scale well to Alabama and Jalen Milroe. And we're going to need that gap integrity on the pass rush, man, because Alabama's going to go empty. And they're going to rush. They're going to run Jalen Milroe on draws and all sorts of different stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing this defense against Bama.
I am as well. I agree with you. I think we have the pieces in place to effectively combat what they're going to want to do in the pass game. It's just can we hold up gap integrity wise? Handle the even, so to speak, rushing attack with the quarterback on your hat on hat and all that stuff and contain and leverage and all the buzzwords everybody talks about. But I was very impressed by the defense overall, the level of play, level of effort, and just the total synchronization of all 11 guys on the field.
Yeah, it was a team effort. Or at least a unit effort, I should say. It was not a team effort. I mean, so if you were giving grades.
Yeah, it was 30. How many people we play? 35 or whatever they said. Those 35 efforts.
Hey, I got to mention, look, everyone on the D-line, in my opinion, played well, particularly the first two units. You did see a drop-off when the third unit went in. But Chris Ross flashed, number 97. I don't know what he's doing now. I guess he's gained back 15 pounds. So suddenly he's strong again.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that guy and his weird dietary habits. But Chris, stay at around 255, 260, buddy. It's a better playing weight for you. Special teams, Bert Auburn, great. He would have been an amazing performance if he hit that 56-yarder, but I don't think we can expect that. He did nail a 49-yarder, like, right down the middle, and just looked good overall.
Not me.
Worthy had a nice punt return. I thought he was going to pull away, and a guy got into his legs. But other than that, I thought special teams were clean at the very minimum.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I thought everything was good. I wasn't a huge fan of the kickoffs, but... The good ones were good. The not so good ones weren't so good.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Hey, I do want to say this. I think I'm already seeing people speak in platitudes about this performance, and both for the bad and for the good, meaning your opening performance is not determinative of your season, right?
Correct.
And two of the three units, I think we're pretty happy with right now.
Absolutely.
I will say this. Did we open the playbook 100%? No. Did the problems that we have anything to do with the vanilla game plan? No.
Yeah, both of those are true.
I mean, if you're giving up pressure on the interior offensive line and missing deep shots, that's not Sark holding back his cards, right? That's a lack of fundamental execution.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you should have been able to line up and run the ball when you wanted to run the ball, and we weren't able to do that as consistently as we should have been able to.
Yep, I agree with that.
Until later.
I think that's fair. I do think we're going to have some things for Bama. I think we've got some work to do. Blocking, coordination in the offensive line. Interior offensive line needs to step it up. And I'm not talking about Jake Majors, by the way.
No.
So yep. I think there's some work to be done. I think this is going to be an interesting week of practice. I think the defense is going to go into Tuscaloosa pretty confident that they can have some solutions for what Bama is going to throw at them. I think the offense, hopefully, will go into a lot to prove. And I hope, frankly, they challenge some guys because I don't think it's a lack of effort, but I think guys like DJ Campbell, I think guys like Hayden Connor, I don't think they're letting it go. And I don't think also the communication on the offensive line was great. And frankly, not to pick on AD Mitchell, but from a physicality standpoint, that was atrocious.
No, I agree. And I mean, like you said, there's plenty of good things to pick out, but you know, the glass half full side of things is, looking back on it a couple hours later, I don't know that I'm not maybe a little happier that we didn't just set the world on fire and roll in there with the offense thinking that they'd had all the problems of the world solved.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Do you think from like a betting perspective, do you have any guess as to if this will affect anything like blinds or anything like that?
I'd have to see what Alabama does today. Probably not. I don't think so.
I'm guessing Bama's in the process of detonating poor Middle Tennessee, but I'm not sure. Oh, it's 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. So not sure what exactly how they're doing that, but I'm guessing it's looking pretty good for Bama. Georgia, by the way, not necessarily setting the world on fire, breaking a new quarterback, but you know, I'm not surprised. I will say this. If you want to,
they should just play Brock Bowers at quarterback. I'm guaranteeing he could do it.
He could probably just run the option, rush for 240 yards. Hey, I'll tell you a guy who's the Brock Bowers of the mortgage game. His name is Gabe Winslow. He's our pal, and he's currently having mixed emotions, like every other great Texas fan. He's looking forward to the Astros cheering up his night tonight, probably, if I know Gabe. You can reach Gabe at 832-557-1095. Hey, I think I've talked about the virtues of Mr. Winslow enough. Randy can attest to them, having done approximately 14 mortgages with him over like the last 4 years. But I guess that's why Randy has a 2.25% 30-year or something obnoxious that us guys with.
It's a pretty good deal. It is a good deal.
Guys like me who bought our house last year and have a 5.6% are not so impressed with that. But, hey, whatever the rates are, whatever the market, Gabe is the guy you want to put to work for you. He's got a great work ethic, despite what Randy's opined in the past. And I think Gabe will get it done for you. Give him a call and find out why he's so awesome at what he does. I've had literally dozens of people write me really nice things after working with Gabe. Find out why. 832-557-1095. Randy, any parting thoughts on Texas? Or you have any thoughts on the primetime debut against TCU? I wrote the entire offseason to fade the Frogs. I wasn't sure I should fade them that much, but Colorado's got some dudes. They got a few dudes on that team, don't they?
I figure TCU's probably gonna be in for a little bit of a rude awakening, but I definitely didn't see that coming. But I mean, we know Colorado is very thin, and you know, some of those dudes go out, they don't have dudes behind them. But
true,
if those guys stay healthy, it's gonna be pretty interesting to watch them, because those guys can play.
Would you take Travis Hunter on your football team?
Yes. So I'd let him kick.
I'd let Travis Hunter play oboe at halftime if he wanted to. He'd probably just
play it. He can do whatever he wants.
He'd probably get a record contract at halftime. That guy's an athlete,
probably,
and
so.
He's got that Xavier Worthy frame. He's all of 165 pounds, smoking wet, and he thinks he's 230 pounds of jacked granite out there running around. And that dude's got quickness that is special. I think he logged like 130 snaps playing both ways and was the best player on the field at all times, Randy, because he was on both offense and defense. Impressive dude.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think
very
Colorado,
much so. Sanders can play. They're good.
Shedeur Sanders blew me away. He is a smarter, more accurate quarterback than I imagined. and throws a beautiful deep ball, by the way, not to rub the salt in our wounds.
No, I was very impressed by him. Very, very impressed.
He's a smart guy. He processes fast. All right, well, this isn't the Colorado podcast, so let's move off the Buffaloes. Right now, all the T-shirt fans in the state of Colorado are donning Buffalo jerseys and Buffalo T-shirts. We'll see how long that lasts. But as long as Colorado's healthy...
Oh, yeah. No, it could flip quick.
As long as Colorado's healthy, I think that's a pretty interesting football team. But I think some other teams are going to reveal some stuff. But in any event, this is the Rice Reaction. Randy, do you have any parting thoughts on this game as we... as we say goodbye and burn this tape on the offensive side after we do some corrections?
No, not really. Like I said, I think the defense is going to be good. We thought coming in the year, we thought that would be the case, and I think it will continue to be so. I think they're deep enough to absorb some hiccups along the way. Special teams, I think, will be solid. I don't know if it'll be game-changing, but I think it's going to be about where we want it to be. And I wouldn't get too crazily worried about the offense just yet. We'll give them a couple more weeks to kind of figure it out. I wanted to see more, obviously. But for me, we just gotta kind of clean up a lot of things that were question marks coming into the year, and we didn't see any answers to those questions in week one.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think also a couple of guys catch the ball, or Ewers makes a better throw once on a deep ball, and we're basking in the glow of a 51-10 victory, and we're all ready to go into Tuscaloosa and shock the world. As it is, Texas
very
has
easily.
Something to prove. So hopefully they got something to work on, and I'm intrigued by this team, and I want to see how the season goes.
I agree. I'm right there with you.
All right, well, win or lose, Randy, you're not going to be with you every week. And Longhorns for life. So hook 'em.
That's right. Hook 'em.
Are you worried that recent events have derailed your retirement plans? It certainly made us reassess all aspects of ours. And that's why we're proud to offer our listeners a chance to work with David McClellan, a fiduciary financial advisor from Forum Financial. David's practice specializes in financial life coaching and retirement planning. And right now, he's offering free consultations for our listeners if you mention the podcast. As part of this consultation, David can help you understand your financial freedom number and what that means to you in assessing your future financial plans. If you want to build wealth, if you want to make optimal decisions within your financial life, David is someone you need to talk to. You can reach him at 312-933-8823. Once again, that's David McClellan at 312-933-8823. He's located in Austin, Texas, but he's got a nationwide clientele. Do yourself a favor and get some great financial advice for free and see if you might want to work with Mr. McClellan. I think you'll be happy with your phone call. Do you need a realtor in Central Texas? Of course you do. We all need a realtor in Central Texas, even those of us who live in Dallas or Houston or San Francisco or Denver, Colorado. You need to go to Central Texas anyway. And the reason is Laura Baker is a fantastic realtor. She's great at what she does. She's a member of the elite Andy Allen team for Keller Williams. You can reach her at 512-784-0505. Talk with Laura if you're thinking about putting your house on the market. This is a great time to get market comps. If you're looking to buy in the market, you need all the help you can get. Call Laura, and it's 512-784-0505.